1 Peter chapter 4. Start with verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's the writings of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praised and dominion forever and ever. Now there's some Bible principles. There's some biblical principles that cannot change. They never change. In this one, God creates a need. Think about this. God creates a need. God created needs, and then he fills those needs. God makes the need, and then he turns right around and fills it. God created man knowing he'd need a Savior, and then he turned around and provided a Savior. See? But think about this. God created needs in our life, and then in our life, he provides those fulfillments. I thought about some. He made thirst, so he made water. God made thirst. God made hunger. So then God turned around and God made food. God made love. Then he turned around and provided companionship. People continually on earth reproduce because God created the earth to be populated, and then he provided the people to populate it with. And you can do all kinds of things like that. You can use all kinds of examples. But the last one we come to is this one here. Now, God created a need. Man needs to be saved. Romans chapter 10 says, how shall they hear without a preacher? So God made a need. Man needs a preacher. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So there's the need. You've got to have the Word of God to be saved. And how can they hear without a preacher? So God provides preachers. Y'all see what I'm saying? He makes the needs and then he fills the needs. And in the local church and through his ministry, he has chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now, I know you've heard testimonies. I was reading the Gideon Bible and I got saved. Yeah, but I think somebody preached to him one time. And some people say, well, you know, I was in this car wreck and I called out to God and he saved me. Yeah, but I think they heard preaching somewhere, don't you? Yeah. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and how shall they hear except they be sent? And how can they hear without a preacher? And God provides preachers to fulfill that need. Don't you think that everybody that ever got saved heard preaching sometime? Sure they did. Might have been grandma preaching. Might have been mama or daddy preaching. But somebody was preaching. So in the local church, God created a need, and that need is a preacher. And then he fulfills it by calling men to fulfill the need of preaching. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Now, a man doesn't just jump up and say, I'm a preacher. No. That's just like oil doesn't jump up and say, I'm water. There's a need for something to drink, and I'm old water. No, he's oil. He's not water. Unless God changes him, he's still oil, and he'll kill somebody if he drinks the oil, not the water. It's the same way with food. You know, there's a big old steak, and right beside it, this poison mushroom says, well, I'm food. You eat that, you're going to die, amen? And it's the same way with preachers. Just everybody can't jump up and say, I'm a preacher. God created the need, so God's got to fill it by calling a man to preach. Now, I'm not against women, and women do preach, but they don't pastor, they don't fill pulpits. They preach to women, they preach to children, and things like that. But what I'm saying is, in the local church, there has to be preachers. Are you still with me? Okay. Now, in our dispensation of time, God does most everything through the local church. Go back to Ephesians. Jesus died for the church. He loved the church like a man should love his wife. And God created the local church to preach the word and spread the word. So God through his local church, calls men to be preachers. Now, I know everybody doesn't agree with that. And I know some people think, you know, well, this guy said, I was watching Ernest Angley one day. I asked him, I said, how do you know you was a preacher? He said, well, I was watching Ernest Angley one day, and the feeling just come over me. I didn't want to work anymore, and I had a strong desire for chicken. So I knew I was a preacher. By the way, I don't like chicken that much myself. And that, by the way, it happens. I didn't want to work no more, and I had a strong desire to eat chicken. That's not the way God calls preachers. God calls preachers through the local church. Ever since the Apostle Paul has taught that to the Gentiles. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 1 through 5. Now, this is Apostle Paul. He calls young Timothy his son in the faith. It's not his physical son, it's his spiritual son. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that means living, quick, bite the quick on your fingernail, you know what he's talking about, and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season. That means don't think about it, just do it. Instant. Be instant in season. Out of season, when they want to hear it, when they don't. Reprove, straighten them out. Rebuke, tell them where they're wrong. Exhort, tell them how to get right with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, what that means is, after their own lust, what they want to hear, what they desire to hear, what they lust to hear. And they'll call men and women now, and some others that's confused about being a man or a woman, and they'll call them, tell us smooth things. Tell us smooth things, you know. And they shall turn away their hearts, their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Boy, that's the day we live in. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now there's a need. He tells this young preacher, Timothy, he says, there's a need. The church needs you. The church needs you to preach. The church needs you to preach, and the church needs you to preach anywhere, anytime, to anybody, and whether they want to hear it or not. Just teach sound doctrine, preach sound doctrine. And so God, through Paul, earlier had called this young man named Timothy to preach. Now, he didn't say go out here and buy a tent. He didn't say do it this way or that way. He's telling him through the local church, you're going to preach the word. Now, nowadays, you know, just about any jackleg can jump up and say he's a preacher. But you know, the proof's in the pudding. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now, if they're not called, they won't stay. All right. Now, what was the preacher to do? Now, today, if you ask that question, the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, they like to use the word minister. You say, what does a minister do? And is he to lead social events? Participate in politics, get up a praise band, have a beer and Bible study. You say that if you want to. There's one right over here across from Northwestern High School every week at that church over there. Are they supposed to make people feel good? No. The first thing of his calling, first and foremost, was verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. He doesn't need to be on the Awana's Club or Kiwanis or whatever that thing is. He doesn't need to be up at the Civitans. He doesn't need to be over there at the Shriners and the JCs and the Mormons and the Masons and all those crowds. He needs to get up and preach the word. Now, that's a simple calling. Now, he said you need to practice your preaching. practice the preaching of the word, and then that prepares you in all the other areas of dealing with people. If you'll just preach the word, be faithful at that, endure it, go on with it, suffer sometimes with it, and as you go through it, down the road, BJ, you'll know how to deal better with people. Now, that's the reason I don't put much stock in counseling. Now, I'll talk to you. I don't mind talking to anybody, but I'm pretty empty-headed myself. All I'm going to do is give you some scripture. And you know what? If you just come to church, you got your counsel. He didn't say, now, Timothy, I want you to go in all the world and counsel. And start you up a counseling ministry. No, sir. That preaching will straighten out a lot of that sorry counseling. Preach the word. And people say, well, preacher, I need to talk to you and I need some counsel. And I understand that. I understand sometimes you just need somebody to listen. That's basically all I'm going to do anyway. But I tell them, I say, look, the main thing you need is preaching. You need to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If we have a revival, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, if our faith and our strength and our hope and our comfort and everything else come through the word of God, then preaching is what you need. You don't need somebody to sit down and feel sorry for you.
Amen.
Amen. I'll do if you want me to, but won't me or you neither one get no better from it.
Amen.
And then you probably won't like what I tell you anyway. You'll get mad at me because I'm going to preach the word to you in there. I mean, you think you're going to get out of church? 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You see that? A preacher has a gift. He's got a gift of preaching. Somebody says, that fellow can't preach the fuzz off a peach. He don't have the gift. He might have a desire. He might have good intentions. But if his preaching don't stir you or convict you or comfort you or move you in some way, he's just making noise. A preacher has a gift of God. A lot of times, Pentecostal people come to my church and they'll say, Pastor, you're a Pentecostal. I say, no, I'm not. They'll say, you are. I say, how you know? They say, you got the gift. I say, I know I do. I got several. I got the gift of eternal life. Jesus saved me. And I said, sometimes I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I ask Him to fill me and give me that power. I said, but the gift you're seeing is the gift of preaching, and you're mistaking that with that false teaching of being baptized in the Holy Ghost the wrong way teaching. You understand what I'm saying? I believe you ought to be filled and covered and baptized and everything else with the Holy Spirit. But there's a gift of preaching. There's a gift of preaching. And God chose, how shall they hear without a preacher? He made a need. So then, He fulfills that need by giving a man that gift of the ability to preach. I went to Bible college. I went to homiletics class. I didn't say hominy. I said homiletics. Hominy is the big corn grit type thing, you know. Homiletics is the science of preaching. And I got in there and that fellow said this. He said, now, it was an old guy who I doubt preached 3 years in his whole life. And he got up there and he said, now, fellas, when you stand up to speak, keep your dignity. Don't come out from behind the pulpit over one step in either direction. And don't point at people and flay your hands. And if you're going to point at all, point like this. And point like this, and point like this, because you don't want nobody to think you're pointing at them. I wish my teacher was here. He was trying to teach a gift. You don't get a gift taught, you get a gift given. And undoubtedly he didn't have it. And I'd go to chapel. I go to chapel at Bible college. I was so excited, young man going to Bible college, and I hadn't slept much that night. I'd worked that night and hadn't eaten much because I didn't have any money. And I'd go in that chapel, you know. And it's like being in jail because you had this little brass thing with your name on it. You had to move it from one hook to another hook when you went into chapel, and you had to move it from one hook to another hook when you got out so they'll know the lying preachers went. And I went around, they said, today we're going to have an exciting speaker today. He is the head of the Southern Baptist Home Mission Board. I thought, man, this guy's got a burden for people. He's going to preach to hide off us. It wasn't 5 minutes. I was asleep like everybody else. I'm literal. Grown men, and they turned the lights down too. That's a mistake. They turned the lights down. And you could hear them snoring. And that man talked right on. He didn't miss a lick. He never raised his voice. He never got excited. He never shed a tear. He never moved from behind that pulpit. And he went. And we slept right on. But God gives a gift. God, He will make something that's needed, and then He will supply that Himself. And He gives the gift. Go on, read the rest of that. He said in verse 7, He said, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now that would be a preacher right there. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Boy, I like that. Now, look. I know I tell a lot of stories. Somebody told me one time they didn't like my preaching. I tell too many stories. And I got a good answer for that. Go somewhere else. I was working at this place, going to Bible college. I was working there. And one day this guy came in, and he had this T-shirt on, and it said some kind of Sigma Phi Kappa Data or some kind of, you know, Greek place where rich kids waste their money, you know, belonging to sororities. And it said Champagne Yard Party. Champagne Yard Party. And they put him over there to work with me for a while. And I was still young myself. I was in my 20s, you know. He was in his probably 20. And they introduced me as preacher. And he said, oh, well, I'm going to seminary myself. I said, you are? He said, yeah. I said, what kind of seminary are you going to? He said, well, I'm a Methodist, but I started dating a Presbyterian. And her daddy told me I'd make a good minister, so I'm going to the Presbyterian seminary. I said, that's just what you decide to do. He said, yeah, it sounded like a good job. He said, they speak on Sunday morning for about an hour, and then through the week they manage meetings and stuff, and they make good money. I said, you didn't say Baptist, did you? He said, no, Presbyterian. And then he went to went to Bible study with me and these old black ladies that ate lunch with me every day. We'd have a Bible study. And he came out there and he sat with us, and a Jehovah Witness showed up. So those ladies just poured the scripture on that poor old boy, you know, about how to be saved and everything. He had a Bible about that thick, you know. And they just poured it on him. And then I started talking about the new birth, how to be born again. And when lunch was over, the bell rung. We all got up and going out. And he looked at me and said, this was interesting. I'm going to have to come to more these more often. And one of them old black ladies looked at him and said, you sure do. Now, you say whatever you want to, and I'm not against education. I've got a little bit, and I'm not against going to seminary. Of course, most of the time it turns into a cemetery. But you don't learn how to be a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist. God calls you. God gives you a gift of preaching. Y'all still with me? Amen. Now, so as a young preacher, I did a lot of things. I taught Sunday school. I did children's church. I preached in there. I was the bus driver. I was the bus director. At one time, I had 4 buses and almost 200 kids coming. I was the Christian camp counselor and director. I was the only Christian camp counselor that had a cabin and slept with the boys. I didn't stay up in the big cabin where it was air conditioned and directed. I got down there with them. And then I'd run, take me a shower and put my suit on and go preach to them. And so, boy, I've done a lot of stuff. I've led nursing home ministries. I've led Army Reserve ministry, a National Guard ministry. But the most important thing I found out that I ever did was to preach the Word. Amen. Preach the Word. All those other things were wonderful, and I learned a lot doing it, and I thank God I had the opportunity to do it, and I thank everybody ought to do it, but preach the Word. And I'd get there, and I'd preach to those youngins, and I'd preach on hell, and I'd talk about how hot it was going to be, and how everything was going to burn up, and I'd have them crying. They'd be down around the altar crying. One night at camp, I got to preaching on the Great White Throne Judgment. Chapel started at 7. We started at 7, and the Holy Spirit come up in that place. Bunch of kids and adults, they're counting. We had adult counselors. And I'll never forget, Becky Matthews. All of a sudden, I heard something over here on this side. Woo! Woo! And I said, your mama's going to be at that judgment. Your daddy's going to be at that judgment. Your grandma's going to be there. Everybody you love's going to be there. And she's crying. She come down the aisle, fell on the altar. This other woman started crying. Woo! She come down the aisle. And boy, that set them kids off. They started crying. They piled around that altar. I couldn't preach. They was praying out loud. Adults was coming praying with them. They was praying for their mom and their daddy because these were bus kids, you know. And boy, they was so loud. I just had to quit preaching, walk around and say, bless them, Lord. Bless them. Save that one, Lord. Bless them, Lord. And that went on. It wasn't an invitation. It just broke out from the preaching. And in 30 minutes, finally, I said, look, we've got to calm down. We got a little snack shack we do after chapel, and then we go do our showers. We go to bed. We got to calm down. I said, you counselors, get them calmed down. And the counselors was going, woo! Look, y'all, calm down. And then you could feel the Lord in the place. And so finally, I got them calmed down, and I said, let me close this out. If you're not saved, you're going to stand before that great white throne, and God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And your mama, if she's not saved, same thing. And your daddy, same thing. And it started all over again. Woo! They fell out all over the altar again. I said, look, we got to quit. And about 12 o'clock, it was after 11, we got them out the door. And I said, just get them out the door. Too late for Snack Shack. Too late for shower. Let's just get them in the bed. Get them calmed down. And they took them out the door and they went out there in the yard, and they was all over the yard out there on the ground. It was on, man. And I'd go around, you know, I'd try to comfort them a little bit and try to get them quiet. And then finally, a little bit after 12, I'm serious, we got them in the bed. And the next day, some of those counselors said, we didn't get no sleep. We prayed all night long. Mama get saved, daddy get saved, grandma get saved. Now, that's why God chose the foolishness of preaching. Now, look, I've done a lot of things, but I've never seen anything work like preaching works. I've done weddings. I preach at them. I've done funerals. I preach at them. I've done dedications to stuff, you know. Preach them. Have a cookout, preach. Have a supper, preach. Preach. God chose the foolishness of preaching. Amen?
Amen.
Now, most churches are, when they're looking for a pastor, they put preaching at the bottom of the list. I know it for a fact. Most of them put preaching as a qualification for a pastor on the bottom of the list. I'd put it at the top. Well, does he have an education? I don't care if he finished third grade and dropped out, long as he can preach. By the way, some of the greatest preachers ever lived were like that. You go up there in those mountains, that old guy, he ain't got no teeth, and if he does, they're made out of wood or something, you know. And he'd do like Arnold McCarver, he'll get to preaching. Oh, Brother Arnold got to preaching for me one time. He got so excited, he opened his mouth. His false teeth came out of his mouth, and he caught them right there and shoved them right back in, and he never missed a beat on his preaching. Amen? Y'all remember that? Some of y'all might remember that. He got to preaching, and them teeth went. It happened to him two or three times. It happened in my church. It happened up there at Independent. He just preached, throw them back in there and preach on. Amen? Real teeth's not a qualification. It's preaching. Amen. It's preaching. Preach the word. I don't care if he's a Yankee. That's hard, I know, but I don't care if he's a Yankee or a Midwesterner or somebody from the South, or I don't care if he's an illegal immigrant. If he's going to be a pastor, preaching ought to be the first qualification. Well, let's look at his credentials. Well, look at Paul's. Everywhere he went, they had a riot. Everywhere he went, they called him a liar and a crook. Everywhere he went, they stoned him and left him for dead, and he almost drowned, and they threw him in jail. The average Baptist church wouldn't even look at him. What's his credentials? Well, let's see. He was a lying, hypocrite, religious Jew, and he got saved. And God saved him. Then after God saved him, he gave him the gift of preaching. Now he's preaching to all the Gentiles because the Jews don't want to hear him. And so he's preaching to all Gentiles. And everywhere he goes, a local church pops up, and he finds a preacher that's got the gift there and makes him pastor and moves on and starts another church. I think that's good qualification. Amen? It's not a position. It's not a job. By the way, if you're going to get rich, you will not be an... I better not say that. If you're going to get rich, being a Baptist pastor is not an easy route. Just let me put it that way. But it's not a position. It's not a job. It's not just a title. No. We used to have a man here that said he was a preacher. He had ordination papers. Sometimes I'd say... When you want to preach? Oh, I don't preach. I just minister. That's what he's saying. So another time I said, I'm going to be out. Will you preach for me? He said, oh no, Pastor, I don't preach. I just assist. All he wanted was the title. He didn't want to do anything. By the way, they said that he went out to the, what's the burger place out there? Shakes and Burgers or something? Burgers and Shakes out there? Come on. Yeah, I knew some of y'all healthy people would know that. They said he walked in the door. This is what people from this church said. Said that he didn't know they were there. And said he walked in the door one day and said, all right, the pastor's here. Y'all know how I like it. And then when they brought it out, it wasn't like he liked it. So he carried it back in the kitchen, fussed at them. By the way, it didn't last much longer here after that. If he ain't going to preach, don't tell me you're a preacher. He said, well, I don't have nowhere to preach. Well, he said, go in the highways and hedges. Go get the crippled, the lame, the halt, the blind. Find you some poor people. Find you a poor neighborhood and just knock on doors and preach at every door. Amen? There's not a shortage of places to preach. There's just a shortage of preachers who will humble themselves and go to preach. Amen? Amen. Preaching is not a position that you would want. Preaching is not a career that you would want. Preaching is a calling. You know what would be good? You don't see it much anymore. If some young preachers, little boys, get the burden and grow up wanting to be a preacher around here, wouldn't that be something? You don't see it. You remember, we used to see that a lot. You don't see that much. Now they all want to be rap singers. And if they're Christians, they want to be the leader of a praise band. Or maybe they want to be a famous sports star or something like that. Well, what ever happened to families, that women that would tell their little boy, I'm praying God will call you to preach. I hope that happens around here. Before I go off to heaven, and don't get excited. I'm going to outlive everybody in this room. I'm preaching every one of your funerals. Don't make no plans, okay? Before I go to heaven, I'd like to see some boys raised up in the church and surrendered to the ministry. I mean, in this church. But I wonder, tonight, you might not be called to preach. But maybe God does call you to do something else. You know, it's strange how you expect the preacher to sacrifice and endure and do it out, and his family do it. And yet most church members don't want to do that. And they won't even take time to teach a Sunday school class or go visit somebody or help at the nursing home. You know, there's more callings than just preaching. And God calls you to do stuff. And what the church member does, they sit there and they look at BJ tonight and they say, boy, I'm glad he called him. Not because they like him that much, it's just because they're glad he didn't call them.
Amen.
Because when God calls you to do something, then your life has to change to meet the calling. When God called me, I had no idea what to do. I had no idea. I'd never known but one. That was my pastor. But I had read somewhere that this guy said he quit his job and just went to preaching. So I quit my job. I didn't know. I just went in there and said, I surrendered to preach. I'm quitting work. I'm going to Bible college. I didn't even know how to get to the place. I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. I didn't have no money. I remember my first breakfast up there. Somebody else bought my first breakfast while I was there. I didn't even have money to buy my breakfast. I just knew that I'd have to endure some things. I knew I'd have to sacrifice some things. And whatever it took, I was going to do it. I'm sure my wife thought I lost my mind many times. I'm sure my kids did. But I had a calling, and I couldn't get away from it. Now, you see, there's a difference between having a burden and a calling. If you've got a burden, you can do it one time, and it'll go away. You won't have it. It may come back later, but say you got a burden. You want to see people saved. Preacher, I'm going to go with you, and we're going to get somebody saved, and we'll go get somebody saved, and you don't go no more until that burden comes back, if it ever does. But if God calls you to do something when you lay down at night, that's what you think about. When you get up in the morning, that's what you're thinking about. While you're going about your daily business that everybody does, that's what you're thinking about. While your friends are, you know, doing vacation or playing or whatever they do, that's what you're thinking about, that calling. A calling, a burden you can get relieved by doing something. A calling you can't get away from it. You'll never, because his calling is with no reproof. He doesn't change his mind. Once he makes up his mind to call you to do something, he's not going to change that. You can change your mind, but he's not changed his mind. And to be a preacher, much less a pastor or an evangelist, you've got to have that calling or you won't do the work. Except when you got a burr under your saddle, you want to straighten people out. You've seen them, haven't you? Now, you may have a calling to teach Sunday school. If you do, you get a burden for those kids that you teach, and you can't get away from them. You'll think about them sometimes while you're working or you're at home or whatever. I believe Jeffrey's got a musical calling. I don't know what. In the Old Testament, they had musicians that played things, you know. And go back and study it. That was their calling in life, was to play that. That's all they did. They didn't do anything else. That was their calling. I think old Holroyd's got the gift of music too. I mean, he can come in here and get us ignorant Baptists to sing like we know something. I think he's got that calling. He talks about it. I think some of you probably have had a calling during your lifetime and you've pushed it back in the corner of your mind somewhere where it doesn't bother you so much, but it's still there. And you won't blame it on me. And you'll leave and you'll say, preacher, you preached right at me today. I did not. I preached at everybody. It's the Holy Spirit that was bragging that up. It wasn't me. I can't do that. I just preach. So, maybe you got a calling tonight. Maybe he's calling you to surrender your body to a ministry. There's a lady right now, and her and her husband have been to this church. And I made friends with him and her on Facebook. And if I could remember what they used to call her, she's got a ministry now with women. These women who are sex slaves and they're into industry and all that stuff, you know. She was they used to call her something madam. Something madam, you know. She was a she was the head of a call girl agency is what it was. And she got locked up and put in jail. And while she was in jail, and by the way, she had a lot of customers that were judges and preachers and lawyers and all that. And while she was in jail, she got saved. And she started ministry to women like that. Now she travels the country just speaking to women. Now that's her calling. That's her calling. If you want to call that a preacher, that's fine. But that's her calling. That's what she does. Now through her life experience, God has given her a ministry. Now same way with you. God's put you through things. Have you ever thought maybe that's because He has a ministry for you in that area? He says we're to comfort one another. And that all our tribulations will work out that we might comfort others. Maybe He's calling you to a ministry. That might not be a licensing, ordaining, charge preaching type ministry, but it's a ministry. Lots of people have ministries that we don't even know nothing about. And in this church, God can use you, you know. What we're going to do, we're going to sing a hymn, and I'm going to give you all a chance to surrender to the ministry He's called you to. Just come lay it on the altar up here. If you need to be saved tonight, you can get saved. If you need to rededicate your life, now would be a good time to do it. And then we're going to license BJ to preach, because I've already preached to him. So let's get our hymn book.